Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Welcome back to another edition of Illinois Family Spotlight. Back in to join us this week is Reverend Caesar LaFleur. He was on recently when we were talking about pro-life activism and the gubernatorial race and Jeannie Ives and Bruce Rauner. Today we have a little bit of a different focus. But let me give a little introduction to Caesar LaFleur. Besides being brothers in the Lord, Pastor Caesar LaFleur and I have been pro-life, pro-family allies in the cause, fighting for truth and righteousness in the public square here in Illinois. Caesar is the founder and executive director of the Beloved Community Development Coalition and the Midwest Regional Director of LEARN, and LEARN stands for Life Education and Resource Network. He's the former associate pastor of New Community Church, which has two locations on the south side, one in Dalton and one in Park Forest. He attended CVS High School in Chicago and then went on to Grambling State University in Louisiana as a music education major, where he marched in the world-famous Grambling Marching Band.
Yes.
He also served our nation proudly in the United States Army as a military policeman. And today, Pastor LaFleur continues to work with various members of the Christian community to build the National Pro-Life Prayer Network.
Yes.
And we talked about how they're trying to get a million intercessors to pray continually for spiritual awakening and revival as a way to end abortion. You know what, Pastor? I just have to say, if we get revival, it's going to end a whole lot more than just abortion,
That's
isn't
right.
it?
That's this year will.
There's going to be a lot of good coming from revival.
Absolutely.
So you can follow Caesar LaFleur on Twitter at Caesar LaFleur, LeFlore, and visit his website, voiceofthebeloved.org, or call him at 708-378-4712. That information will be on the notes of the podcast here. And so Pastor, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that we're able to talk. I want to talk about the contentious issue that keeps coming up, and of course the media loves to keep focusing on it and stirring the pot, if
fanning
you will.
The flames.
Fanning the flames. Yes. Of race in America. Mm-hmm. It seems to me the left wants to keep pursuing the idea that America is a racist place.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts about all of this going on in the culture?
Well, first of all, Dave, thank you for having me
yes.
back. I figured when you asked me to do another one, the first one must have been okay. I didn't get thrown
That's
out.
It was better than okay.
Yeah,
stupendous.
Thought you might change your location, your address. I don't let that guy back in here. So, but thank you for having me back.
Yes.
And listen, you mentioned in the introduction the whole idea of the Intercessory Prayer Network. Yeah, absolutely. Revival and spiritual awakening will answer a lot of things in this nation. Sometimes I feel like we're playing whack-a-mole. You ever see the game whack-a-mole?
Yes, I have.
You know, the most fun game at the fairs, the carnivals.
Right.
You stand there with a mallet, and everywhere the mole sticks his head up, you're whacking at it.
You're trying to push it back down.
That's
hit it
right.
on the head.
Sometimes I think that's how we are. We are reacting to so much because there's always something coming up. We're dealing with the abortion issue. We're dealing with the marriage issue. We're dealing with the family, the destruction of the family.
Yes.
And we're dealing with all these things, and now racism is sticking its head up.
Sure.
And so absolutely, we do need a spiritual awakening and a revival in this
yes.
nation that will answer all of that. But to your question, absolutely, this whole issue about race, this is the preferred method of division today.
Mm.
And I think that's what the enemy is using, especially in America, to divide us and to sow the seeds of discord among us. And the enemy is roaring when it comes down to that. And there's a lot of different reasons why the enemy would do it. I wish he wasn't being so effective at it
yeah.
because it breaks my heart to see us dividing ourselves again. I think about the words of Scripture where it said Jesus tore down the walls of separation and we're no longer separate, but we're
That's
now
right.
one.
Tore the veil.
Absolutely. And so now actually the enemy is building these walls of division and separation, and we're lining up behind these racial lines, and we're glaring at one another, and we're losing trust. There can be no unity.
Losing trust and being suspicious.
Absolutely.
And just automatically suspecting you of the worst.
Absolutely. And our nation will fall.
Yes.
Because, you know, Abraham Lincoln was quoting scripture when he said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand."
That's right.
And ultimately, I believe that's the goal. And if you don't mind, I'll blame it on leftists who don't love this country and want to see this nation fall. And one of the ways that they're choosing to do this is to advance these socialist ideologies and using racism and the whole specter of racism as the tool to flam people up.
Well, you know, it's ironic. Last time we talked about abortion, we talked a little bit about Margaret Sanger and her racist ideology, which was eugenics, you know, eliminate the undesirable black and brown babies. And yet the same leftist people, the people who are in leadership, I'm not going to accuse all pro-choicers, mm-hmm. pro-abortion people of this, but I would suspect that many in leadership mm-hmm. in Planned Parenthood, at National Organization for Women, the American Civil Liberties mm-hmm. Union, all these people promote pro-abortion mm-hmm. policies. Mm-hmm. Understand mm-hmm. that this is at its heart an issue of race, mm-hmm. trying to kill black and brown mm-hmm. babies, mm-hmm. and yet they're the first ones to scream that conservatives, Christians, are being racist if they did something a certain way, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And so it is, and to your point, it is a divide and conquer. It is a divide and conquer. And it really breaks my heart because I think a lot of us are being emotionally manipulated.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to remind you of that term that you
yes.
use. And you don't mind me just to speak as
Go
a black man
yes.
here, because that's one of the things that I resent most is being emotionally manipulated through race. And I see that as being a political strategy. Basically the Democrats and the people on the left. Understand, I make a difference between leftists and liberals because I believe there are some liberals, even some pro-choice people, whose hearts are in the right place. They're just misdirected.
Right.
You know, they're
misinformed.
Misinformed, thinking the wrong way.
Right.
I think someone said, if you're not a liberal when you're young, you have no heart.
That's right.
But if you're not a conservative when you're older, you have no brain.
That's right.
So I think some people are just misguided. But I
sure.
think that there are some people that are leftists, that are anarchists, that are people that just
sure.
hate this nation and think this nation stands for. And I believe that they are the ones who, you know, it's interesting, just like you pointed out, they would want to point out all these things and call it being racist, but they have some of the most racist ideologies and practices that you can ever imagine.
Absolutely.
And as a black person, to see black people manipulated with race for political gain really infuriates me. Because if you ever notice that every 4 years, an individual decided to run as a Republican, and he was never known as a racist until he decided to run for the presidency, and then all of a sudden he's a racist.
That's right.
Every candidate that runs as a Republican, that runs against a Democrat, is always painted as a racist.
That's right.
Because they know that if we can paint them with the brush of racism, then black people are not going to listen to any other thing that he
sure,
might say.
Sure.
And so they divide us based on
well,
that.
Well, okay. So now you bring up a good point, and I didn't even jot this down, but you know, the fact that the Republican Party was established, why?
To stop the spread of slavery into the new territories.
Do many people understand that today? You know, they believe the media lies that, you know, Republicans are white racists, but yet the Republican Party was established to end racism. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was the Republican Party that is that passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution that outlawed slavery.
Absolutely. And on the other side, there was the Democrats that were pro-slavery.
Yes.
Democrats were the party of the KKK. Democrats were the party of, you know, they resisted the Civil Rights Initiative. A lot of people don't know that. But one of the things that they do is that when you can't get rid of a truth, you have to spin it and spread it away. Because they say, oh, but the parties have switched now.
You're saying rewrite history.
Absolutely. So revisionist history.
Revision.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. But then they go, oh, the parties have switched. So the Republicans are not the same Republicans they were then. But you're right. The Republican Party came into existence to resist slavery. When the Whig Party wouldn't do it,
yep.
the Republican Party was formed
That's
to
right.
stop slavery. The first black U.S. Senator, Hiram Revels, that graduated from Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois, was a Republican. Union, the first congressional
from Illinois?
From Illinois.
Wow. Look at that.
Absolutely. The first congressional black caucus. They were
all
Republicans.
Is that taught in school?
No, it's not taught in school.
No.
And it's definitely going to be taught in no black studies.
No.
Because absolutely now the hatred for republicanism is because Republicans have been painted as rich, white, racist.
That's right.
And so therefore that has been established so hard in there that you're not going to, I tell my friends all the time, if we're conservatives, if we want to get any traction in the black community, we definitely can't act like we represent Republicans. You just have to talk about the principles because the party is a non-starter in the black community.
Well, that brings up another topic about the branding of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Of course, I would say in Illinois especially, the Republican Party has failed.
They fail miserably. They're failing nationally. But I'm sorry.
And they keep hurting their own brand.
Yes.
They keep hurting by people like Mark Kirk and a runner hurt the brand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I wanted to say that it didn't end, you know, in the 1860s with the civil rights or the civil the constitutional amendments to outlaw slavery, right? We all the way up to 1964, right, with the Civil Rights Act, right? Who was it that voted for that bill, for those that legislation?
The Republicans voted for that.
And who voted against it?
It was the Democrats. And I was telling people when Al Gore was running, Al Gore's father was one of the people that resisted that the most. But, you know, even it took a Democrat president, Johnson, to sign that into law. But I tell people, I don't give them no credit, and we shouldn't be loyal to Democrats because of that. Because do you mind if I say the word?
Sure.
You know, it's that word that we that would be spoken,
uh-oh,
that N-word thing, you know. You know, and I look at that and say, that's the craziest thing in the world, is that we call it the N-word. It's like we don't know what it means.
Sure.
But Johnson said that if we give these entitlements to them, we'll have N-words voting for us for 200 years. His own words.
And that was the entitlement program.
Absolutely. These things and these entitlements. And so basically,
which has led really to the dismantling of families.
It's to destroy the black family. Yes. The racism of that. Nobody talks about how racist that is to see the black family destroyed.
Yep.
I just gave a talk in Washington, D.C. at Star Parker's Urban Policy Summit there, and we talked about the destruction of the black family, and we talked about marriage, and we talked about what marriage does. Marriage is the greatest tool against poverty to be in a black community. But the black family, black people are the least married people in the nation. The black woman is the least likely to get married than any other demographic in the nation.
But at one time, Caesar, wasn't the black family actually had a better intact rate than the white family?
When it became a crisis, when the Moynihan Report came out in 1965, the illegitimacy rate was at 23%, what they thought was alarming.
Sure.
I forgot the black economist's name that wrote about it in the 30s, but the illegitimacy rate was 14%. At one point, we did have a greater intact family. Even coming
but
through
slavery.
But I think
slavery, the divorce rate was higher in the white community in the 60s than it was in the black community.
Absolutely. But Moynihan said that if this trend continues, he pointed all the negative things about, you know, we lost political power, economic power, you know, all of these things. He pointed out if this goes unchecked. At 23%, that was the issue. Now we're up to 78%.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's policies that's led to 78, almost 8 out of 10 black children in some areas are born to a single mom, usually a mom without any job skills, without any education, without any ways to be able to take care of herself, and a absent father. And so now the state becomes the father for those children.
That's right.
And the same individuals who are pushing those policies are the one who's calling other people racist. So you're the people that's bringing this, making
that's right.
us dependent.
That's
right. Subsidizing illegitimacy, then you're saying that's for our benefit.
That's right.
It keeps us captive and dependent on you. That's racist to me, and I despise that.
Amen. And then here's the other thing is that the Republicans today are pushing school choice. Who are the ones who refuse to let black parents in the inner city have a choice on schooling?
It's those leftists, those Democrats, those union individuals
that's right.
who would rather see your kids suffer and fail than lose their piece of the pie that they're getting because of that. How in the world can you convince me that I shouldn't want school choice?
That's right.
And I'm forced. You know what black people have to do in order to send their kids to a good high school? They have to sell their house and move to another neighborhood.
That's right. That's right.
That's ridiculous. And my family had to do that. My daughters, even my wife and I were blessed in order to put our daughters in parochial private schools.
Yes.
And so doing elementary school, but they all wanted to go to public school and high school. They say, hey, we don't want to look. So we had to sell our house in Dalton to move to Linwood so that our daughter wouldn't be forced to go to a failing public school.
Sure.
And so absolutely, we should be the first ones marching for, yeah, give us school choice. You know, give us the ability to be able to make some decisions for our family that you make for yours.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a break right now and come back. I want to continue to talk about what's going on with the NFL, the national anthem, and how maybe Pastor, we could come together as Christians under the one blood in Christ.
Amen.
So we'll be right back.
Do you know that the time your children spend in school for 1 year is as much time as they will spend in church in over 5 years? Why would we want our children to be in a school that denies God and His truth? Christian Liberty Academy was founded in 1968 to provide a place that would affirm and strengthen what our children learn at home and in their churches. We have a great location in Arlington Heights, outstanding faculty and facilities, a strong biblical worldview emphasis, and an affordable tuition price compared to similar schools. We provide a comprehensive and accredited curriculum that will prepare your child for college and beyond. From preschool all the way through 12th grade, discover the positive difference that Christian Liberty Academy can make in their education and life. Schedule a personal tour today and get more information at ChristianLibertyAcademy.com or call 847-385-2013.
All right, welcome back. I'm here with Reverend Cesar LaFleur, my special guest for the day, and we're talking race and politics. And I can't overlook what's happening with the NFL, the take a knee situation, how the national anthem somehow has been brought into this whole racial thing. And I want to get your view about, you know, there are corrupt policemen out there who have abused their power and position and have hurt people, killed people.
Yes.
And there's, you know, a legitimate cry for reform,
that's
right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Within our policing in our police departments,
right? Mm-hmm.
Throughout the nation. But what Colin Kaepernick started has kind of blown up into something much more than just a protest against police brutality,
hasn't it? Yeah, actually, and I think it was more effective when it was just Colin doing it last year, because I think it did take on a life of its own. And first of all, it has affected me. I'm probably one of the biggest football fans you've ever seen.
You and me, buddy.
But you know what? I have not. I don't think I've watched a single game this year.
And why? I'm with you. Why is it?
And it's because I'm turned off. I'm
upset. As a veteran. Yep.
And then as a black man, I'm looking at the opportunities these guys have. They're talking about being oppressed.
Sure.
Because they're talking about resisting oppression.
Sure.
First of all, I don't think it's sincere, because they really didn't get unified about this until Donald Trump made his statement.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, all of them got unified. And so now you're going to tell me that you're kneeling for this point. But I know that you're kneeling for another thing.
Sure.
So first of all, I think it's a little bit disingenuous. You know, but I'm looking at multimillionaires, you know, guys who have millions and millions of dollars who now want to say, oh, we're slaves. The NFL is slave owners.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're slaves. You know, I can't take you seriously, because you talk about slavery. Slavers wasn't getting paid millions of dollars. Slaves weren't
living. As they drive a Rolls Royce or a Lamborghini
and
or
living in mansions.
Humvee. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then these things you're doing by choice.
Right.
You know, slave couldn't just quit slavery. You could walk away from the NFL if you wanted.
Sure.
So I can't take you serious when it comes down to that. But mostly, Dave, my thing is, fine, you know, I agree with you that no police officer should abuse his power.
That's right.
And there has been times that there have been, you know, there's been injustice in that.
Nobody's
denying that.
Nope.
But to the extent when I see that thousands and thousands of black kids are killing each other, that all of the black in Chicago, you know, the dangerous weekends where we're seeing gunning each other down in the street.
That's right.
My thing is that I think if we worked on some things ourselves, if the black men would get up and take their place in their family and they teach their children, they teach their sons not to destroy one another. If we can turn back some of the gang activity, we can turn back some of the violence, you know, community, we wouldn't be having all these interactions with the police.
Sure.
If we would take care of ourselves, we wouldn't have to worry about what other people are doing with us, because we would be in control of that. Basically, what we're saying by taking a knee, and first of all, I don't agree with that taking a knee, because that's a sign of submission. It seemed to me that if you want to stand up against something, you would stand up and be men.
See,
I'm not going to kneel for anything. I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to bring the flag into this, because thank God for this country we're able to have this platform to speak and to earn and to do all those things.
That's a point I'd like to hit on, too, real quick, is, you know, the poorest among us in America lives better than anyone throughout history, even kings and queens throughout history. I think the protest is done in ignorance and ungratefulness.
Ungratefulness, that's right.
Because God has blessed this country it's not perfect, okay? But God has blessed this country, and to sit there and protest it, I think, is a utter disrespect to God.
It really is, because basically what we're doing is that we're almost sometimes throwing up the middle finger to a God who has laid it out so we could just be in a place where we could prosper. And you're right. You know, we got poor people over here that's crying poor, but they're fat. And they got
that's the number one problem of the poor is obesity.
And they got cell phones, and they're living indoors. They got running water. And there's places where there's real poverty where people have none of that. But I don't even want to belittle, the people's call for justice.
Because and to that point, Caesar, we have political tools. There's right ways to do it.
Right ways to do that.
And there would be certainly a better way for Colin Kaepernick and other activists to get the public opinion on their side.
Absolutely.
This was not one of them.
But see, if we go back to what we talked about at the very beginning, I think that the enemy uses tools in order to be able to whip us up.
Yes.
So, for instance, like the whole thing about because Colin Kaepernick actually said, I will never stand for the anthem of a flag that oppresses the people. And so then people got behind this because they said it's the anthem and it's the flag. And then they rejected the anthem because of the third verse. First of all, I didn't even know there was a third verse to the anthem. I really didn't.
Yes.
You know, but then I did a little research and found out the poem Francis Scott Key was writing, talking about the attack of Fort McHenry. Then I found out about the Royal Marines, or whatever they call them, those freed black slaves that had been brought into the British Army that were fighting against the colonies.
Yep.
And so he's talking about those slaves that were fighting against us, that, you know, the grave. But we turn it up as if they were saying, oh, we celebrate the killing of slaves. No, that's not what that's about.
Not at all.
But we don't even sing that verse.
Right.
You see how you're being distracted?
That's right.
To focus in on something that's going to manipulate you emotionally. And my dad used to tell us, he said, something about you black people, when you get mad, you don't think. And when you're angry, you're not thinking.
Well, that applies to a lot of us.
But dad was being specific to us. But I think that's it. If I can get you angry, then you're not thinking. And if you're not thinking, you're not thankful. You're not thanking God for the situation where you're living, where from slavery, God has brought us to a place where we're a blessing to the world.
That's right.
Blessing to the world.
Absolutely.
Because of the freedoms and things that we experienced in this nation, as marred as its beginning was, that it was the principles that allowed slavery to exist here less time than it existed in other nations. There's slavery going on in Africa right now.
Absolutely. You know, and every culture has had slavery.
Every culture has practiced it. Absolutely.
So, I mean, are we going to, we're tearing down monuments. By the way, I'm not going to defend some of these monuments because they're Democratic heroes.
That's right.
Anyway. But you know, are we going to tear down the pyramids because they were built by slave labor too? We can go way back here.
Absolutely.
And that brings up my other point. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you talked about how some people are objecting the flag is oppressive, or the nation is oppressive to some people. I reject that. It's people who are oppressive.
That's right.
And it's in the heart of man to be corrupt.
Absolutely.
Who was the first person sold into slavery, according to the Bible? Joseph, his brothers.
His own brothers, that's right.
I mean, holy smoke, people. Mm-hmm. This goes way back. And people are corrupt. They're evil. They're wicked. And without the gospel truth, we're going to mistreat each other.
Absolutely.
And that's the point.
The heart is desperately wicked, the Bible says. Who can know it?
Is that Jeremiah?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So who can know it? So absolutely. But one of the things that I want to focus in on, and I think we really need to start focusing in, is the brotherhood. You know, the things that we've overcome.
Yes.
You know, Larry Elder is, a guy who I respect. And he says there are individuals who want us to refight the battles we've already won
yes.
back in the 50s and 60s. We recognize the history of this nation. And I recognize what my father went through. Let me just tell you that my father, I'm 60 years old.
Okay.
So I'm old enough to have lived when we couldn't drink out of all of the water fountains,
sure,
and things like that. My dad was a truck driver back in the day when he couldn't even eat in a truck stop.
In the Chicago area?
Well, he lived here. You know, he was from Mississippi.
Okay.
But he moved up here. He moved his family here. But he told me about times that he drove trucks over the road and go to the truck stop, and they would give him his food in a bag, and the gravy and stuff would be dripping through because they wouldn't let him eat. They wouldn't
at the countertop.
Yeah, after, so he experienced all of that. I understand, but I see where God has brought us from. You, as a white brother, who's a brother in the Lord, I would dare not hold the sins of the past against you who did not commit
them.
Thank
you for that.
And I wouldn't violate the unity and the brotherhood that we have with each other because we're brothers in Christ. The thing I focus on is because we're brothers in Christ, you and I are as close,
right,
as me and someone who's my blood brother, especially,
right,
even if they're not Christians, you and I are actually closer.
Amen.
And so I don't want to lose the progress that we've gained. I believe in my heart that the people here that are hateful and bigoted is a small number compared to the people in this nation who have a good heart, who are loving, who simply want to go about their lives and live their lives. I don't believe all white people are looking to destroy me and hold me down.
And those people who are hateful and bigoted and racist, they need Jesus.
They need the Lord.
And that's why where they are. And remember the song Amazing Grace.
How sweet the sound.
Right?
That's
who,
right,
was that?
John Newton, a slave trader.
Yeah.
That's right.
So before,
mm-hmm,
he was wicked.
That's right.
Once Jesus opened his eyes,
that's,
and then,
right,
actually closed them, you know,
absolutely,
he saw the light.
I saw the light.
And we were talking about this before we decided to record this, is, you know, Jesus calls us. His final prayer before he ascended to heaven was
unity.
Unity.
Let us be one.
Like the Father
and I are one.
And,
right,
we've got to be one.
Mm-hmm.
So Christians, if, absolutely, we expect to shine the light of Jesus to a dark and decaying world,
absolutely,
and it is dark and it, mm-hmm, is decaying,
mm-hmm,
quickly, we need to be united. Because if we're shining lights at each other and accusing and pointing our fingers, mm-hmm, at each other, we're doing more damage to his reputation.
Absolutely.
Which, by the way, you talked about Dennis Prager earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Prager talks about the Ten Commandments. He says that, you know, thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Mm-hmm. That commandment really doesn't mean, you know, saying God's name inappropriately.
Mm-hmm.
It's carrying it.
That's
right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're carrying God's name, like the Westboro Baptist Church,
yeah, right,
you know, saying God hates fags,
yeah,
that is what they're doing.
That's,
it's,
right,
wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When Muslims attack and say Allah is great and kill people,
mm-hmm,
in God's name, that is taking God's name in vain.
Absolutely.
So anyway, I don't know. Any final thoughts on? Oh, that's what I wanted. I wanted to hit this real quick before we wrap up this podcast. Caesar, how do we come together? How do we spread the message in churches,
mm-hmm,
in Bible believing, gospel preaching churches and leaders, that we got to come together?
I'm glad you said that. One of the things that God used, I was in the Church of God in Christ for 25 years, and then actually God called me to Lorimer Baptist Church in Dalton, which is now New Community Church, where,
okay,
I served,
gotcha,
on staff for 17 years. But at that time, when I went to that church, their mission was to worship God as a racially reconciled, you know, a diverse congregation.
Excellent.
And so they were reading Raleigh Washington and Glenn K. Ryan's, you know, Breaking Down Walls and the Eight Rules of Reconciliation.
Mm.
And it was intentionality. So we have to do this
intentionally.
Intentionally, absolutely. And so there was all white. It was, the church was 100 and something years old, Lorimer Church, and it was a white flight church. It left 71st Street and moved to 83rd Street because the neighborhood was changing. Then in 1957, it left 83rd Street and went to Dalton.
Oh, my goodness.
And they built that building there. In 1990, they were getting ready to move again, but God raised up Dan Goody. They said, we're not going to run. We're going to embrace the community, and we're going to be the,
amen,
body of Christ, and we're going to love our neighbors,
amen,
that come. And so they intentionally, in fact, that's how I became the associate pastor, because they had an intention. We got a white lead pastor. We're going to have a black associate, and we're going to intentionally demonstrate love, and we're going to study about it, and we're going to pray about it, and we're going to learn how to acknowledge our differences,
yes,
because I don't believe in a colorblind society. We are different colors, so we have to acknowledge that that you and I are different.
And there's nothing wrong with celebrating our ethnicity.
Because the next one is to appreciate the differences. Yes. Because you bring something to the table.
I love Chinese food. I love Mexican food. I mean, look at me. You know, I mean,
I used to tease Dan Goody.
And it's not just food. You know, it's music. It's culture. It's, yes.
I told Dan Goody, I said, you and I are just as opposite as can be. You know, you're the whitest dude ever seen, and I'm the blackest dude you ever seen. And, you know, when you clap, you know, you miss the beat. You clap on 1 and 3. I clap on 2 and 4. We got all the beats covered.
Amen.
You know, so we appreciate each other's difference. And then we appropriate each other's differences. Use the things that you
Amen.
Bring to the table.
I love
it. Absolutely. And so we have to do that intentionally because we honor God
yes.
when we do it that way. The Bible says, by this, all men will know that you're my disciples, that you have love for one another.
Yes.
We demonstrate God's
yes.
love better when you as a white guy and me as a black guy can love each other and be in a relationship and do life together.
Amen.
Not just casual, but I'm talking about actually do life together and love each other and care for one another. We demonstrate the love of Jesus, and we prove that God sent him through that kind of demonstration of the love.
That's it. And the best part of doing this right now is that you and I are working for the kingdom,
Absolutely.
Trying to promote his truth.
That's it.
When it comes to the public square on life and marriage and family.
Absolutely.
And all these things. And and even race, where you know, boy, we've got some work to do. But
Absolutely.
You know what? I love the word intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to leave people with that in their mind. You know, the fruits of the Spirit need to be practiced.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get them by osmosis.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And loving your neighbor has to be intentional,
mm-hmm.
no matter what. And then so intentionality.
Absolutely. Do it intentionally. And some of the things, if you look at the book of second chapter of Acts, when the church was born out, it talked about how they broke bread together, house to house, how the church, they did life together. One of the ways we used to encourage each other said, do that intentionally. You know, invite a black person into
yes.
your home. Invite a white person. Have a meal together.
Absolutely.
Let your kids play together. When we first moved into Dalton years ago, it was still a lot of, you know, whites there who was still a pretty diverse community. And I was glad that there were some little girls down the street that my daughter could play with, you know, the white girls, because she had an opportunity to have that diversity experience and just love her friends because of who they were. Kids aren't racist. They have to be taught to be that
That's
way.
That's right.
So
That's
if they can be taught to be racist, then they can be taught to love one another.
That's right.
So we need to prioritize that. Let's not be so easily offended. Man, if you say something that's a little bit
that's
insensitive
right.
toward black people, I'm not going to kill you for it.
That's
and,
right.
And would you forgive me if I get some things wrong? You
know? Scripture tells us it is your glory to overlook a matter.
Absolutely.
Overlook it. Who
right.
cares? It doesn't matter in the
Absolutely.
Grand scheme of things.
You know, where you quote that scripture, love covers a multitude of sins,
that's
multitude
right.
of fault.
And
so
guess what?
Know,
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner. Saved by the grace of God. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Caesar, thank you so much. What great wisdom. And I hope you appreciated this. So if you want to connect with Caesar, I've got a phone number here for you. 708-378-4712.
Yes.
And you go to his website, voiceofthebeloved.org. And your email address.
LaFleur@voiceofthebeloved.org.
And that's LeFLORE.
Correct. At voiceofthebeloved.org. And we really want those individuals who believe in the power of prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, who would be willing to pray with us in Cook County and pray with us for awakening across the nation, contact us and become a part of the prayer network.
And be intentional about that, too.
Absolutely.
What a great opportunity, and pray
yes.
for opportunities to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ all over the city and the South Side, in the state, in the nation.
That's right.
All right. So thanks, Caesar. God bless you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.